Good morning. Let me back up and adjust that a little bit. I'll turn it on before he waves at me. I don't really need a lot of amplification sometimes. Amen. It is good to be here this morning, and we appreciate. I thought as Pastor was talking about the why missions, make me want to do it all over again. Amen. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a greater service in the world. We just celebrated, and let me say this morning to all you that have served, thank you. Amen. I can do what I do because you've done what you've done. And those that are still doing that even today. I never served in the service, but I'm grateful for those who have. I've been giving my life over to missions in 1987 as a 24-year-old boy. Wish you could do it over again. And start now with the knowledge I've gained the last 30 years, maybe I can accomplish something this time. But grateful for all that you do. As Pastor said so aptly this morning, I couldn't do what I do without you guys. We just finished our mission conference in our home church last Wednesday night, and then we started revival in prison there in South Carolina, finished that up last night. And we increased our faith promise again. I started giving the faith promise when I was 12 years old. I got my first job away from home when I was 12 years old. You've heard me tell that story before. And my daddy taught me about missions giving. Got a goodly heritage. My dad's 74 years old, still gives to missions. Taught me as a young man. And I rise up and call him blessed. Thank the Lord for the privilege of being a part of what God's doing. So many of you have helped in so many ways. Some of you won't even know the encouragement you've been to my family. The years I've known you, Pastor, and I'm grateful for that. The money that you sent just a few months ago helped ship 4 barrels to St. Vincent and Biquay. Those barrels are there now. They were full of Bibles, John and Romans, gospel tracts. We were there back early. We've been in 6 countries this year. I never desire to do that. And to be honest, there's some parts of me still does not desire to do that. And I'll mention some things about that in a little while. But God has put us in this position, in this place, I believe, for such a time as this. Amen. Many of you men and women, and some are still today in harm's way for such a time as this, for our country. And I'm grateful for that. But we began the visits. We were there in St. Vincent and Biquay back in the early part of the year. We have one young man who's never been to the States. He's a builder by trade. He's a construction worker. But I remember in Grenada seeing guys building houses with a handsaw and a hammer. I remember seeing a guy sitting up on top of the roof splitting the board with a handsaw, cutting it from about 6 inches down to 4. And we realized as a Bible student, your tools are important in the Bible, in the ministry. You know, as well in construction, and that's what I did. That's how I made my living, is building. And we've been able to use those, what little I've learned as we've traveled. But we began to pray about maybe sending him some tools, and the Lord began to send stuff. We've sent tools to 3 countries this year in the bottom of those barrels with gospel tracts and John's and Romans. We just got back from Guyana. We took the skill saw and the drill and the jigsaw that we sent down there and some chisels and things that I learned the first time I went. We were trying to build with a handsaw and a hammer, amen, and a screwdriver for a wood chisel. We were able to send just a few basic tools to help a 29-year-old Guyanese boy do something for Jesus Christ in Seuss Dyke there in the village of Guyana. You have a part of that. I thought as Pastor was preaching it, I'm not going to tell you anything new this morning. I already know that. I understand that. A lot of what your pastor preached, I've heard and I've preached myself, but it stirs my heart again to hear it all over again. And to be reminded, God hasn't changed his mind. God's still right where he was, doing right what he wanted to do. And the problem is, it's us that gets out of whack sometimes. I want to be a servant. Thank you, ladies. I begin to pray when Pastor asked me to come, what to do. I mean, what to say. I know you men here, you dear folk, hear plenty of good preaching and sound preaching, solid preaching. And I like to preach, amen. I'm just no country boy. Most of y'all already know that, amen. I'm amazed at the men and women that know me by name when I come, and that speaks something to me. Go in a lot of churches, and they'll say, now, who are you again? And they've been supporting us longer than you have. But when I come here, I know that We've been before you guys, and many of you come to me and let me know you pray for me. We appreciate that. We've been in places this year. I'm going to be in Matthew just a minute, Matthew chapter 6. We'll go ahead and find your place there, and I'll tell you a little bit about what's been going on just this year. There's been so much happening, we can't keep up with it all. We try to post some things on Facebook as we're able, and we just got back, as we said, from Guyana, South America. There have been a lot of issues there. This was our fourth trip down. We'd had an issue with the Guyanese man this, in early part of this year that caused some difficulties. And then an independent Baptist, so-called preacher from Arizona, went down and caused some issues. Matter of fact, one American missionary right now is praying as concerned. He may not have his papers renewed because of Anderson, this Anderson guy out in Arizona. And preaching his heat. Amen. What we do makes a difference. We weren't able to get into schools under the normal process because of what he did back in March and April when he was there. So we've got to have some sense. We've got to be smart with what we do. Dealing with inmates, I've had to learn, and I'm just, man, I mean, as a young preacher, like many young preachers 30 plus years ago, they would tell you I preached everything that moved. If it didn't move, I'd kick it and try to get it stirred up. Amen. So that's just the way it was. And then I went into prison ministry 17 years ago, and I had to learn you can preach the same thing, but you've got to handle it a different way. And I've got guys that we're in one camp right now strictly because the inmates wouldn't quit aggravating the chaplain. They said, you've got to get Brother Joe to come and preach. They said, he preaches hard, but he loves us. And I'm there once a month now because the guys went to the chaplain. I couldn't get in, so I've learned sometimes you can work around stuff. Amen. And they went and continued to ask him to have us in. And he called me. I was out of town, missed a meeting or two this year. And he said, brother, you got to get come back in here. He said, the guys are aggravating me to death. I'm like, amen, that's a good thing. And I get to go and preach to these men, just an old country boy. We went into Guyana. We were told, I don't know if you kept up with things. I posted some things in Guyana back in July of this year. The main prison, 1,048 men, or 1,028 men burned to the ground. They had a riot, set the place on fire. I was there 4 years ago, our first trip into Guyana 3 years ago, and preached there. And one officer died, several were shot trying to escape, seven did escape, different things. We were told there's no way we could go to prison. This time, just too much turmoil, too much strife. When we got there, we had guys praying, and here was what I asked them to pray before I left. I said, fellas, I want you to pray that God's will be done because I want to go. I'm not going to lie. I want to go in. That's where my heart is. I want to reach those men that can't come to service like we're having this morning, as the Word of God commands us to do so. But I said, I don't want to do something that's foolish. I don't want to do something that's unwise. And so we got down, went in, sat down. We'd already been turned down. The brother had twice. He said the man asked us to come and see him. We talked to the director of prisons, and he opened doors that was never opened before. We had a three-day meeting there at Timari Prison. Had a Muslim man saved in a prison center. Had 5 men accept the Lord. One of them told us he was a Muslim by profession before he got saved just 2 weeks ago. Makes it worthwhile. Amen. That's the why missions, amen, is people are needing the Lord. People are dying at over 6,000 per hour nationwide, worldwide. How many of those have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's why we go. That's why we run and travel and why we do what we do and why you do what you do. It's teamwork. It's effort together. We went in. The man opened the door and allowed us to go in, and we've always asked to make pictures and have always been turned down. And when we were, he already told us what we couldn't do. Of course, I knew that from doing prison ministry here. And a lot of the rules are the same. When we got through, he said, well, you bring some hygiene items in. And he said, you need pictures of that for proof. I hadn't asked him anything yet. I would have, but we didn't have a chance. He said, I'm going to allow one of you to take a phone in to make pictures. Picked up the phone and called the camps. I've approved one of their men to bring pictures in, or to bring camera in to make pictures. That's never happened before. But God opened the door. We were told we couldn't get into school. We were in a supermarket picking up some groceries and a few things. Amen. Some bread and peanut butter. That's why everybody gives me a hard time. I tell them I need to buy the peanut butter. I always bring it with me. Amen. It goes in my bag. But met a pastor there, Brother Ibram, a Guyanese national. And Brother Ralston said, preacher, why don't you come meet this man? So he's been a little bit standoffish. And we began to talk to him what we was doing. He said, you want to go in schools tomorrow? And so that was the next day. We were in two different schools preaching. Had a young lady surrender to missions to go to Cambodia, if I'm not mistaken, as a missionary in a school system. That's just 3 weeks ago. That's the why missions. For me, that's the why missions. Amen. Little Ezekiel that I told you about, a year or two ago, he was 9. I met him. He's 11 now. He still has a desire to be a preacher when he grows up. That I want to preach the gospel and see folks saved. Pray for his family situation. His mom and dad are having some issues, and Lord knows all about that. We went by and visited the family for a little while and saw Ezekiel now about this side growing. And I'm praying for the day to hear maybe God's called this young man to preach. And he's reaching Guyanese people for the Lord Jesus Christ. We were able to hold a tent meeting there, a crusade meeting. We took a young man, 20 years old, just rented to preach. Never been out of the country, never been to an airport. Kind of reminded myself in 1988. And we had the privilege of taking him to his first mission field, first mission trip. I asked him the day after we landed, and we stayed in a little place that they said was a resort. It kind of looked like at the back there was a swamp, what I want to call it, with lily pads everywhere. You know, I kept looking for Rambo to jump up out of there with a big gun and a rag around his head or something. I don't know. That's kind of what I thought when I looked out there. And it come right up to the hotel. It was a balcony for each room. The doors wouldn't open. You couldn't go out there, but there was one. Amen. I guess at one time it worked nice. But I asked Brother Brandon, I said, how was it? And he said, well, Brother Joe, it's not America. And it was a little homesick those first couple days. That last night, preached in a tent meeting, over 100 people came from Soosdyke to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preached on hell. 3 teenage boys after the service went straight to him. Several of them seemingly had gang affiliations and tattoos and the different marks of sin upon their body. And they asked a 20-year-old boy, said, you see how I look? Said, can God forgive me? And for about 15 minutes, Brandon got to talk to 3 men that wouldn't have nothing to do with me. They walked right past me to someone their age. And God used him. What I'm saying is God can use each of us in his place. They didn't get saved. We don't know what will happen down the road, but Brandon had an impact on 3 young men because he was their age. And here he's up there giving his testimony, telling about how God saved him and changed his life, how he wants to give it to Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, he told him that night, this last night, he said, if God wants me to stay, I will. Big change in 9 days, what God can do. I'm grateful for what you folk do, and I appreciate every prayer and every gift that's been sent our way, monetary and otherwise. Amen. You folk have been blessed, like I said, in more ways than you'll ever realize. An encouragement to my wife and I. We've got 2 of our grandbabies, amen. I told her, we're not geared for keeping 3 months old 3 or 4 days again, amen. I said, don't they ever sleep, amen. But we're grateful to have them, their mom and dad's. Their dad acts as a firefighter, an EMT, rescue squad worker, etc. And my daughter's got a CNA too, doing some rescue squad stuff, and they're training this weekend. So we've got the 2 of my grandsons. Amen. It's been a blessing to have them with us. And especially the 3-year-old, the little one. You know, when they get a little older, I don't know about you other men, I like them when they get up where they can walk and talk a little bit. That one's crying. All I want to stick a bottle in his mouth. That's all I know how to do. Amen. And try to change his diaper or stick a bottle in his mouth. That's about all you can do when they're that age. But grateful for our children, amen, for the folks that the Lord's living. Yes, 10, that little one, my wife's holding number 10 for us, and that's a blessing. Look in Matthew, if you will, this morning. I'm going to move quickly. Like I said, I'm not going to share anything you've not already heard before, I'm sure, but I want to try to remind you of some things. And my thought this morning is, what does it mean to serve? And I thought of how the Lord was lining things up, and I didn't know what all was going on. I know what God had put in my heart, and I thought about the pastor dealing with 5 missions and the beautiful group singing on Make Me a Servant. But what does it mean to serve? Thought of Veterans Day. I thought, man, as I was thinking last night and early this morning, many of you could tell me a lot about what it means to serve when we think about serving our country. Amen. I've talked to some. I've got family members that have served, and I've sat around and talked with them about what does it mean. You know, I had a young man, one of my best friends in high school, signed up on that 1 year, you know, early thing, and when it come time, he changed his mind, and he called and said, I decided I don't want to come. And they said, it don't really matter what you want now. You done signed up, amen. He had hurt his knee real bad during football and wore a cast for about 5 months, and he thought that would get him out. They said, well, you can come, or we're going to come for you. You've done submitted, amen. And went, of course, and did great, and I'm grateful for that. But I remember seeing and talking with him over the years and seeing how it changed his life. And I sat around and talked to missionaries. Last week we had them in, and we talked folks different places. One going to going to our capitals in the U.S., and one going to the Philippines. And of course, Brother Adams, the preacher's in Rock of Ages prison, which had a heart for me. And I thought about talking to these men and what they've learned and what they serve and what they do. What an awesome opportunity to sit around and listen to these guys. listen to these ladies, hear about what God's done in their lives. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I thought as Pastor was speaking, that's what he was talking about in missions. It's not all about money. It's where's our treasure at? Man, where is that responsibility? And one thing I find missions has done for me, it helps keep us from becoming greedy. When we realize how we can help others and what God can do. If I die today, and I've had some health issues again this year, I have no regrets in where I've been and what God's let us do this year. Matter of fact, the Lord willing, I'm already booking stuff and planning to do it all over again next year. Amen. That's my desire. That's what Dr. Seiler taught us in college. Just keep preaching, keep planning, and keep going until Jesus calls us home. Amen. Verse 22, he said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse number 24, I'll take a little thought here as I start. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We've got to make a choice. Amen. I've got family that think I've made a bad choice because we've given our lives to do what we've done. But they don't realize we've made the best choice. In my life and for me, I've made the right choice. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you, Lord, for this church and what a blessing they've been to us over the years. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and mercy. I pray you'd bless the reading, the preaching, the hearing, receiving of the word of God this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. What does it mean to serve? I looked up that word serve, and it means to do service or duties for. It means to give service to or to aid or to assist. Means to give obedience and reverent honor to God, to be used or usable. I like this last little phrase, to be used or usable, to be of service or to function. Boy, isn't that a blessing. If we've got people today that will function, amen, wherever it is that God has put you, I know where God's put me. I know where I belong. I'm doing what God's put in my heart. And my desire is to serve him till he calls me home. My desire is to finish the course he's placed me on many years ago. But what does it mean to serve? As I said, I've talked to men who have been in service in my own family and friends of my family, and I sat down and listened to their stories, and I've heard your pastor talk about things, once a Marine, always a Marine. I've heard several make that comment. Can I say, once a servant of God, we should always be a servant of God. Amen? We should always desire to continue doing what God has. But I'll do a little acrostic briefly this morning. On that word serve, the first thing with the S of the word serve this morning, what does it mean to serve? It means surrender. It means to surrender. It means to give up your will to his will. It means to surrender your way to his way, amen? You see, we've got a lot of people that talk about commitment. There's a big difference between commitment and surrender. Commitment is something I do. I commit. Surrender is me giving that over to someone else, you see. Amen, and I'm surrendering what I want to do to what God wants for my life. When we do that, it's going to involve some submission, amen. James talks about submitting ourselves to the Lord. There in James chapter 4 and verse 7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I can remember in the Christmas revival on the White Horse Road side of Tabernacle Baptist Bible Church in Greenville, South Carolina, in 1987, my wife and I bowed on this side and said, God, whatever you would want for us, wherever you would put us, we'd sure love to go, not knowing it would change the direction of our lives. I never planned to leave America. I never liked to travel, and yet we've flown over 30,000 miles this year and driven about that much, and that wasn't in my plans when I surrendered my life to the Lord. That wasn't in my plans when I said, God, wherever you want me to go, that's where I'll go. But we submitted to his will. But I do also, and I realize talking to men that have served and hearing other men talk about their service, and I can say as a missionary of over 20 plus years that surrender also will involve some sacrifice. As we talked about, we remembered this week and then Memorial Day, remember those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. But even those that are that our veterans that are still here, they've had some sacrifice in their lives to do what they did for our country. This year alone, we missed Mother's Day. My mother's 71. Amen. Many of you know had a lot of health issues still with us, and I'm grateful for that. Took her and dad out the other day. I laugh when I take them out. None of us can hear. All three of us got hearing problems, and they're carrying on. And then I took them into Walmart, and that was hilarious. Actually, taking them and hearing mom and dad going, you know, back and forth, and they've been married 50 plus years, so I know that's okay. Amen. But I told my wife, I said, it was kind of comical taking them around. My dad has taken care of my mother for more than 20 years. My dad has sacrificed because of the commitment he made and the surrender he made 56 years ago when he married my mother. Some men have said to my dad, you ought to put her in a nursing home, let somebody else care for her. He said, you don't understand, that's my wife. Amen. See, my dad has taught me what it means to sacrifice things. He's taught me what it means to be willing to give up some things. We've missed birthdays. The young 3-year-old back there fixed to be 3. He's got a birthday party coming up. I think it's next Saturday. My daughter will come to the house and get my date book and look, see where something's open. I said, Daddy, we want to do something here. And she'll work around our schedule where some will get mad because we missed birthdays, we missed anniversaries, we missed Mother's Day, as I said, even this year. But the sacrifice is involved in that surrender. You see, now we're going to do what God wants. We're going to do it God's way. I've missed Mother's Days and Father's Days. I've missed my wife's birthday on a time or two being overseas preaching and traveling. Why would you do that? What does it mean to serve? It involves sacrifice. It involves surrender. It involves a submission. And sometimes we're not willing to give what it takes. But all that there's an expectancy involved. Amen. There's an expectancy for you and I to fight the good fight of faith. There's an expectancy in you and I to follow the paths of the Lord. There's an expectancy for you and I to finish our course. I want to finish. I know some men I went to Bible college with aren't even in church today. I know some that are already with the Lord. And I know some that are just trudging along. I mean, just day by day, day in, day out there. They're staying behind the plow. They're doing the things of God. And I want to be one of those. Amen. 72 students started in 1984 at Tabernacle Baptist Bible College. 12 graduated. Out of those 12, 6 or 7 of us went to mission field. 2 of those aren't even in church today. Brother Joe and Tana Collins, you know the story there. He was the salutatorian of our graduating class. He and his wife and 5 children paid the ultimate sacrifice as they died in a plane crash on the mission field. Brother Bob Mace died of cancer a number of years ago in Iowa. But I want to finish my course. There's an expectancy of you and I. I asked my buddy Seymour when he come back. I got asked him about what he was required to do. And they said, well, the Army issued everything he needed. You know, the Marines, he was at Paris Island. He issued everything he needed. I was asking about his pack. And he said, yeah, they issued it and put everything in it and load it up, but they won't carry it. He said, they expect me to tote it. Amen. Matter of fact, he kind of had a vile mouth, and I said, man, did you ever cuss a drill sergeant? He said, one time. I said, what happened? He said, he knocked me out. I said, they don't do that. He said, Joe, I'm telling you, I was there when it happened. Amen. He said, I didn't do that but one time. But I'm telling you what, he come back, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Oh, God, what I'm saying, God changed him in that experience. I mean, guys say, man, I like Brother Joe to come. There's just a glow about him or something. I'll tell you what it is. We've been where Pastor was talking about this morning. Amen. I took a bath in a bucket. We've looked for, well, some other things I won't deal with. Amen. Well, I've used a 2-seater. Amen. I'm always amazed at Facebook when they post, have you seen one of these? I'm like, man, I was hunting one about 3 weeks ago. Amen. I'd sure like to have found one. We were there in Grenada in Chocolate City. I have some pictures in the back. We were clearing land, and I told the pastor, maybe, you know, I've got stomach issues, and sometimes they flare up and give me a lot of trouble, a lot of grief. And I asked the pastor Celestine, I said, man, do y'all have a latrine yet? He said, no. We got some trees. I said, where are they? Amen. I said, you know, I mean, those things change you. Amen. You walk with if you have the problems I've had for the last 25 years, you walk with an emergency kit and it involves a plastic bag with some toilet paper in it. Amen. I know that's not real pleasing and not the greatest thing to spend. I'm talking about there's some things expected. I've got people that would not have one problem in the world knowing the things I've dealt with in the last years. Just stay home. Just go ahead and quit. Just go ahead and, you know, you give it a good run. But I want to run on and do what God expects me. I'm not trying to meet somebody else's expectancy. I want to meet the expectancy God has for me. Amen. Now, like the pastor said, we're not in competition. I'm not in competition with another preacher, another missionary, another church. I just want to do what God expects of me, that I can serve Him. Amen. Not only that, when I think about that, are we to be ready? Amen. To be ready to give assistance, to help. My desire my whole life has just been to help people. Amen. We do a lot of killing around the house. It's going to be busy this week. There's 8 deer in the cooler and a cow that got killed last week. They tell me we got chickens to kill tomorrow. So any of y'all ain't got nothing to do. I got plenty to happen, amen, the next few days. I hope it ain't over 100 chickens this time. Hallelujah. I said, what do you do with all that? There's a lot of people needs help. We don't sell it. We can't eat it all. We ain't hardly ever there, amen. But we've been able to help a lot of people over the years. And that's my desire. I want to be ready to help people. We spent 9 days in Guyana. And they said, what are you going to do down there? I said, most of the open time, I'm going to spend pouring my life, as Pastor's talking about, pouring my life into a 29-year-old boy that said, Pastor Joe, I need some help, man. I want to do right, but I need some teaching. He's fixing to start Bible college at Joshua Rhodes in January, Lord willing. He realized he needs some help. Somebody's got to help him. He and I just dealt with issues and stuff that he's dealt with and questions he's had for the entire time. If we were traveling, we were talking. He was asking, we ought to be ready to give assistance. We're ready to give an answer. Amen. There's an expectancy. I remember before I went overseas the first time, I remember we were in a mission conference. We were down in Florida just before Desert Storm in 1989, and they were interviewing 3 servicemen that were fixing to go. Remember what branch of service they were in. They were interviewing on live TV, and we were sitting there before the meeting. We were watching this thing, and these young men, 20, 21 years old, this big, I mean, you know, just bad guys, you know what I'm saying? They were in shape. They were ready. And I'll never forget, as they asked this young man, said, what do you think? He said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. I never really wanted to go. He signed up. But he said, I never really wanted to go. They asked the next gentleman. He said, well, I guess I don't have a choice to go. And I'm sitting there listening to these guys. And I'm talking about being ready. And if we're a child of God, there's an expectancy. Young men, there's an expectancy. Young ladies, there's an expectancy of us. Older men and women, amen, I don't know where I fit now. I know I ain't no young fella no more, amen. My bones remind me of that every morning. And then the old folk tell me I'm not an old person. I don't know where I fit anymore, Brother Sam, but that third guy come up, and I'm about to tear that mobile home apart. I had me a fit. He said, what do you think I've been training for the last 20 months? I'm ready to go. Which one of those 3 would you want to serve with? Amen, I'm going to go with that last guy. I've never been where many of you been, but I know one thing. If I'm going to go, I want to go with that guy that's ready. Amen. The other 2 just wasn't ashamed to say on national TV. One says, I don't want to go, and one said, I never planned to go. But that third young man coming up, same training, same outfit. He said, what do you think I've been training for the last 20 months? Amen. Hey, Pastor talked about training, and there's a need for that. Hey, that we'll be ready to give an assistance and ready to give answer to every man. You got all the answers? No, I ain't even heard all the questions yet. But I've answered some. I preached on Jonah. I've been in Jonah for a little while. Preacher, I got more questions on Jonah than I've ever had. I answered some questions, but it brought up more questions. And I'm not going to sit back and say, I don't know how all this comes out. No, I know how it all comes out. God told us. And listen, that V will give us victory. Hey, if we're surrendered and we're expecting and we're ready, there'll be victory comes. God can take a nobody like myself from little mountain North Carolina and let me travel the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, God can use anybody and we can have victory, amen. We can go in and see a Muslim man give his life to Jesus Christ, amen. We can see a church member saved by the grace of God. In the last 30 years, I've had a deacon's wife saved after the service, amen. Had church folks saved, my own family members saved. What do you think about that? I think, hallelujah, thank God when church members get saved and they're not on their way to hell any longer, that's a victory for the child of God, amen. He promises victory. What does it mean to serve? It means a lot of things to a lot of people. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I've been places I had no desire to go, first of all. I've been places I didn't have a clue how to get there. Amen. But we made it somehow. And getting ready to do it again. Getting ready to change it all over again. What about this last thing now? Expansion and enlargement. Paul the pastor is talking about the growth here. I know of different times as I watch his post on Facebook and talking about what God's done here from the time y'all started 30 plus years ago to where you are. We pulled up today and noticed there's more parking. Amen. My wife said, it looks bigger. She said, oh yeah, that wasn't here the last time. There's expansion going on. Amen. What does it mean to serve expansion? Enlargement. God doing things in our lives. Ephesians chapter 7, verse 18, or verse 17 said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That word to know there is experiential knowledge. It's knowledge come by walking. I'm not a pastor. I'm a missionary, and, you know, everything's supposed to be easy for us, you know. We just travel around and live off everybody else and, you know, everything else and all like that. And I'm being a little facetious, but some of the things we've heard. I got down to Grenada, and I had a pastor's wife up here. I mean, just chew me out. I didn't know what I was getting chewed out for. And I was glad the internet connection wasn't good. It took her a day to get it to me, amen. But she had a list of stuff she had laid on me. And I prayed about it, talked to wife about it. I answered the one question she asked, and I said, you know, she's hurting. And I said, there's nothing I can say to her that's going to make that any better. I just didn't respond. Got back here, and the guy that caused it called me and apologized. And I told him, I said, brother, when I saw that she was hurting, they've now, her and her husband have left the church, and there's some issues family-wise and otherwise. And I said, realize, preacher, there was nothing I could do. Nothing I could do to help that situation. And anything I said was going to be took wrong, so I just didn't say nothing. That's hard for no redneck, you know what I mean? God's helping me. What does it mean to serve? Just let God take control. Let God do what he wants to do. Let God be God in your life. Amen. God can take you places you'd never dream and make you want to go. I didn't want to travel. When I come to South Carolina, you understand, when I come to Bible college, I'd never been to South Carolina but one time. I was 20 years old, and I didn't like it. I went back home, amen. And then next thing I know, I've done moved to South Carolina. I moved out of a little church that was running 50 folks on a good Sunday in a storefront building. The first Sunday morning at Tabernacle, there was 1,100 people. I was scared to death. I moved out of the country and stayed in a duplex in a city for 10 months. It's one I didn't get arrested, amen. Thank you, Lord, I was never there. Preaching in college and going to work. What does it mean to serve? It means you have to give over your will to his will. You have to let God take control. We submit what we want and our. Do we still have them? I'm not going to lie. There's still some of those desires there. I thought about Mother's Day, and my mother couldn't even call her and have cell service where we're at. But she understands. And I've talked to her many times. She said, son, I prayed for a preacher boy, and God gave me one. Said, you want to preach and let God do what he wants to do in your life. What does it mean to serve? And I can try to think, and I can't say that I know, but I can try to think of moms and dads as they hugged a son or a daughter as they traveled overseas the first time with our service, in our armed service. When you're a pastor, many of you, when you went that first time, I wonder how mom and dad felt, or maybe a loved one felt, a wife felt. But they knew, and you knew. I've got a young man, I'll give you this as I close, and the pastor's going to come. There's a young man I work with in Grenada. His name's Chetty. He's actually, he's here now. He's in the U.S., He got a little issue one time. I went to the police, tried to help him. Then he got mad at me later and accused me of being a racist and all kind of stuff. But later on, he was here and he called me. Wanted me to come talk to him and his wife. They've since divorced. But I saw him post something, preacher, on Facebook. He's a Grenadian. He's not, as far as I'm concerned, he's an American. Amen. He's earned that right for about 10 years in the Marine Corps. But when all this stuff broke out a few years ago, he posted. He said, look, I have gotten out, but I'll re-enlist and we'll go take care of business. And I thought, man, wouldn't it be a blessing? Here's somebody from another country that's come to our country that loves America enough. He said, let's go get us some. He said, let's get the boys and you'll get us some. He's willing to serve. He's learned what it is to serve. He's a lot different from the young fella I knew when he was a teenager and kind of bebopping around in Grenada. Now he's about yay broad and about 6'2", you know, a big muscle-bound guy. But when I read that post, I thought, man, that's exactly what it means to serve. Let's just go do what we need to do. Let's go do what we're supposed to do and let God take care of it. What does it mean to serve in your life? Well, I want to have a big job. I want to do a good, and all, there's nothing wrong with all those things. I've had good jobs. I've made decent money for a country boy. But I wouldn't trade any of those positions for the position I have right now as a servant of Jesus Christ, here and abroad. I don't know where next year will take us. We're planning to have, we're looking for tickets for Haiti right now. We've got a young man, Brother Destiny, down there. He's in charge of 33 churches, just little churches. Some of them still meeting under trees. My preacher, still meeting under trees. $7,000 they can build a church. Hey, man, I want to go see what we can do, see what God would have us to help him with there. I want to serve the Lord. What about you? Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for this church. And Lord, these folk are so precious and have been such a blessing to my family, no doubt many others. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be servants and to serve you in this day. Direct and guide in our hearts, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.